Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Glory to God. You may be seated. God bless you. I just want to share briefly. I know today it will be a hurricane. And so much will be happening. But just to say a few things to prepare our hearts to receive what God will be bringing our way eventually. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of fellowship. We thank you for the privilege of access. We thank you for the honor of being committed with your word and your kingdom. We thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, even as we fellowship and draw from your realm, we ask that we be empowered, equipped, and strengthened to bring higher witness to our generation, even as we advance your kingdom on the face of the earth. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Last night we tried to examine the scriptures, thank you very much, from whence the theme of the conference was extracted, and the Lord was emphasizing a few things. I just want to read again and explain a few things even as we ascend more in the conference. Matthew 16. It's actually supposed to be a long read, but for our time, we narrowed it to verse 16 to 18. It became necessary for Jesus to isolate from his followers their understanding of his person. And the reason is because without a clear understanding of who he is, Zion cannot be built. And so Jesus began to discuss with them, asking questions. And the first question Jesus asked was a form of a survey to find out what the schools of thought of the then world taught him to be. And he said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am?" And when they began to bring the perspective of the scholars, the perspective of the body of truth that existed at the time, it became obvious that as touching reality, they were oblivious. As touching reality, they were ignorant. And as touching reality, they had not scratched even the very basics. These were systems that were formidable and well established, but it was established on nothing. Is there some say you are Jeremiah's? Others say you are Elias. And others say you are John the Baptist, returned from the dead. It was obvious that their analysis was based on rational thinking. It was obvious that their analysis was based on putting facts together. When Jesus taught, his words came with so much authority that pierced the soul. And on the strength of that piercing utterance, they believed he was of the judgmental order, like Jeremiah. And so they called him Jeremiah. And Jesus also worked so much power, so much signs and wonders. And because of that level of supernatural expression, they assumed him to be Elijah. Because as far as the history of Israel was concerned, the two prophets that brought power in its raw form was Moses and Elijah. And there was also prophecy that Elijah will return. And so if there is a man operating in so much power, it has to be Elijah. And others believed he was John the Baptist, because only somebody who is back from the grave should have so much authority over the dead. Because the man was calling forth men from the dead. And they say, you are John the Baptist. But all of that, as intelligent as it was, did not capture the mind of God on the subject matter. And so the first thing we draw, or the first understanding we glean from this scripture, is the fact that the structures of men, or the standard of men, is not the standard of God. The wisdom of men is not the wisdom of God. The strategies of men are not the strategies of God. And so no matter how intelligent, no matter how strategic our approach towards life is, it will not receive the approval of the divine. Because God will not build on the wisdom of men. God will not build on the strategy of men. And if you study scriptures, you will find these patterns consistent. When God wanted to deliver the world, he was going to judge the world by a flood. And so natural thinking and natural understanding should let us know that it will have to take a boat. But even though it was glaring that a boat will be, or an ark will be, the infrastructure through which God will save the world, does not mean that human-made ark will pass the test. And so when Noah was to build, God gave him a specific standard with details that he had to follow. It was God's ark that saved the world, not Noah's ark. If Noah built without God's input, it would not have passed the test. When they were in the wilderness and God wanted to fellowship with them, they needed a sanctuary to interact and interface with God. But God will have to warn and insist that Moses builds according to the patterns that were revealed to him on the mount. Because I will not just be in any tabernacle. I will not just be in any tent. At the end of the day, you will find a tent. But God's tent is different from man's tent. And God will not dwell in man's tent. God will dwell in God's tent. And so this is the first lesson we learn from this scripture, that even though your strategy and your approach looks like God's approach, it does not mean God's approval is upon it. And if you don't pay the price to find God's standard, you would have run the race in vain. Because when you get to heaven, what you are doing may look like God, but God will not be in it. And because God is not in it, it will not receive divine approval, and there will be no reward for it. It's a dangerous position to be in life, to be functioning only based on human intelligence and based on what seemed to be right from man's standard. In fact, if you study the book of Numbers from chapter 11, when Jethro came to look upon what Moses was doing, he found out that Moses was overwhelmed. And Jethro counseled Moses to raise elders, captains of 10, captains of 50, captains of 100, and captains of thousands. And it was a very intelligent thing. It was a very reasonable thing. It was a very rational thing to do. When God showed up, God's position was not different from Jethro's position. However, God's approach was different. Because Jethro wanted Moses to select able men, both in strength and in wisdom. But when God came, God was not looking for able men. God wanted to take the spirit that was upon Moses to put upon the men so that they could bear the burdens with him. Now, if you look at Jethro's counsel side by side God's counsel, you will think it is identical. But in the spirit, the operational modality is different. Jethro was looking for wise men. God was taking the spirit that was upon Moses to put on other men. So physically, it was alike, but spiritually, they were worlds apart. This is the problem we will have as people walking on the face of the earth, trying to mirror things that are not from the realm of God. But when you understand what God was emphasizing in this scripture, you will know that even though it looks like God's standard, if it is not God's standard, it will not receive God's approval. And if it does not receive God's approval, your life can just be a waste, even though it looks beautiful on the outside. Hallelujah. And so the first lesson we extracted was the fact that we must build according to God's standard. And to build according to God's standard, you must labor to journey into God's realm. Because God's standard is not in the natural. God's standard is on the mount. And so if you cannot journey to the top of the mount, you can't see God's standard. You may photocopy what somebody else is doing, it will be different. Imagine if you were a leader and you also selected elders to do it exactly the way Moses was doing it. The technology of taking the spirit and putting on the people will not be in what you are doing. And so physically it will look alike, but spiritually there will be different things. This is the difference between Zion and Babel. That there can be a structure, but the one upon which the glory of God appears is the one that is extracted from the realm of God. And there are many people building their lives and building systems that have no root in the spirit. Now, when you study this scripture, you are also going to realize that when God's standard is revealed, God's standard will not function in isolation. God's standard will have to become a structure. Because no matter how beautiful a revelation is, if it does not become a structure, it cannot carry the weight of glory. And so God's operations are immortalized when they become systems and structures. This is why he said, I will build upon this revelation. It is not enough to isolate God's counsel. God's counsel through God's wisdom must become a structure. If you look at Jesus' ministry, there were well-defined structures with which he operated. Jesus was not just operating because he was the Son of God made flesh. He had structures through which he brought administration to everything he was doing. If you study the book of John, chapter 12, the Greeks came to see Jesus. And the Bible said, Philip told Nathanael, and Nathanael told Jesus that they would see him. That's an administrative structure. You don't just bump into Jesus and say, I want to see you. It doesn't work like that. And so after the revelation is isolated, the revelation must become a building. It must become a structure. That's why I said, upon this revelation, I will build my church. So if you have a revelation that is not a structure, it will die with time. There are many visions that have died because there are no structure to support it. That's why you find most of the time, the most gifted and most charismatic people are not those who make the greatest impact. They lift their hand, fire is moving. They talk, wisdom flows like a river. After a few years, they vanish. Because there's no structure to sustain that operation of the Spirit. And so Jesus identified the fact that this came from the realm, but he also recognized that for this reality that came from the realm to be established and immortalized on the face of the earth, it must be translated into a building, an ecclesia. It must be translated into a structure. And so no matter how powerful your visions are, if they are not structured, they will not be immortalized. So Jesus had structures. There was an administrative structure. There was a financial structure. The Bible spoke concerning Judas that he kept the money. And when they wanted to give to the poor, it was Judas that went to give to the poor. There was an operational structure. When Jesus needed to pray, he went with Peter, James, and John. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. He went with Peter, James, and John. It's not all the disciples that went to pray with Jesus. There was a structure. If you don't build structure around the vision, even though it's of God, it will not stand. It will be swallowed. The gates of hell will destroy it. Praise God. And so this is the first thing we learned from this scripture. The second thing we learned from this scripture is, like I said yesterday, is the revelation of the person of Jesus in its totality. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I told us that revelation has two dimensions. The first dimension to that revelation is the stripping of Jesus of his glory in order to walk among men. And so it brings to us an understanding of the love of the Father. It brings to us an understanding of the justice system of God. That even though God was sovereign, God did not just decree that man is free. Man can't be free like that. Because God himself is under the laws that he set. And so for man to be free, God had to go through the pain of deglorifying himself in order to come among men to save men. And so when Peter said, "You are the Christ," the first thing he revealed was that you are the messenger to come from the realm of God. But that messenger is not a prophet. Because the people who wanted to isolate who Christ was recognized him as a prophet in the order of Elijah. That's not correct. The people recognized him as a prophet in the order of John. This is not a prophet in the order of a prophet. This is a Messiah, a sent one from the realm of God. And when you understand that revelation in its reality, you will discover that God deglorified himself in order to become a man. That is what gives assurance to humanity. Our faith is born out of what God is willing to endure to save us. This is why the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, that if he did not withhold his only begotten son, but gave him freely for us, how shall he not with him give us all things? When you find a man who does not have faith in God, it's a man who has not understood what God was willing to do or to give up in order to save him. And so in that scripture alone, there was the revelation of faith, there was the revelation of the justice system of God, there was the revelation of the love of the Father, that Jesus had to condescend sevenfold in order to become a man. The Bible said he took off himself the statue of God, he took off himself the privileges of God, he became a man, and as a man, he took off himself the privilege of a man, and as a man, he was obedient in serving the will of God. And as a man, he embraced death. And he did not just embrace death, he embraced the death of a criminal. So God left the status of a God and took the status of a criminal. That's what Peter was saying. When he said, "Thou art the Christ," he said, "You are the messenger from the realm of God." And the messenger from the realm of God is God deglorified to a point where he could be seen as a naked criminal on the cross. That kind of revelation must have come from the Father. Because if you know the glory of God, it will be impossible for you to imagine that God could be stripped of glory. It will be impossible for you to imagine that God could be stripped of the privileges that makes him a God. But if that's able to come into your heart, then your relationship with God will enter the next level. A level of assurance that cannot be broken. A level of intimacy that cannot be compromised. Many believers have not still caught this revelation, even though they read this scripture. They don't know what God did for them to become who they are. And so the first dimension of that revelation is what God went through in order for you to receive a new status. And I said the second dimension of that revelation is what God did to upgrade you. That's what he meant when he said you are the Christ. He didn't just say you are the messenger from the realm of God. As the Christ, he is your enabler. And that's why I invoke the word Hamashiach. Because every time the word Hamashiach is used, it's actually the word to anoint. Mashiach means to anoint. And so every time that word is used, a man is upgraded to certain ranks in the spirit. If you study Exodus 30 verse 30, it says, "Get Aaron and his son and Mashiach them into the office of the priest." And so when the Christ is invoked, a man can become a priest. And priesthood is not just that you now pray. Priesthood now means you have access to the realm of God. Because in the Old Testament,
only the priesthood came into the Holy of Holies. No other person could come there. The high priest was the only person who came into the Holy of Holies once in a year. But now that Christ has become man, man now does not just come into God's presence. Man lives there. And so we don't need somebody to carry the blood of bulls and cattle to go and sprinkle and carry out oblation for us to come into the presence of God anymore. It means that where you are seated now, you are in the presence of God. So when he said Christ, it means you are now walking actively in God's presence. You know, many people don't understand this, so they assume it's when the atmosphere is charged. That's when they feel they are in the presence. And as they are feeling some things over their body, some goosebumps, they now feel the presence of God so strong. That's when you actually became conscious of God's presence. That's not when you came into God's presence. You became conscious of God's presence because somebody who understands the presence stirred it. And so you are conscious. But if you grow your understanding and consciousness level, even when you are in the bathroom, you will be in God's presence. And in the bathroom, demons will flee from you. All of that is built into the architecture of you are the Christ. That means you now live in the presence. You can be in your office in a business meeting. You will be in the presence. You know, those in the dark world understand spiritual things more than those in light. And that's the major problem we have. Those in the dark world, they are more conscious of spiritual things. You can go to a meeting with your boss. And before your boss came into that meeting, he chewed things. And so while he's sitting in that meeting, all of you are wearing suit. But your boss knows he's not wearing suit. He knows what he's wearing. And so when he's talking, he talks with authority. Because he knows that there are so many things he's carrying. There are weapons. There is an ancient bag he's wearing. There is a sword he's carrying. So he is in that office with the consciousness of what he's wearing. So if you talk to him, he can tell you, you will see. He is that bold to say you will see. And he's not bluffing. Because he knows how he came. But you went to the office because the mirror told you your tie matches your suit. You are walking like a gorgeous man. And all your reality in the meeting is a black suit with a red tie and a lapel. And when you talk, you shake your watch. And you are talking with audacity. Meanwhile, all your audacity is decked in the natural. So when they check you in the spirit, they know you are light. And so when you are talking, they say, forget him. He doesn't know what he's saying. That's the problem of the believer. His glory is in his external garment. But when Peter says you are the Christ, it means you have come into a realm. And if you live from that realm, you are a more than a conqueror. That's what Peter was saying. Number two, when he said you are the Christ, he said you are a prophet. Not in the fivefold, but a one who carries now the prophetic spirit. Because when prophets are to be ordained, they are Mashiach'd. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, it said, Mashiach, Elisha, as a prophet in your stead. And so when the oil was rubbed off on Elisha, he took up the status of a prophet. From that day, he was no longer the same. The voice of God dwells with him. And so what Peter was saying here is that from now on, everyone who is in Christ carries the voice of God. And so for all of us who have the revelation of the Christ, we are no longer led by a prophet. We are led by the Holy Spirit. Prophets come to confirm what God told us. And so if we want to travel, we don't need a papa. If we want to start a business, we don't need a papa. If we want to go out, we don't need a papa. Because we now know and we now have the mind of Christ because we have been Mashiach'd. And this is not to say the office of the prophet is invalid. Prophets now come to confirm what God has told us. And prophets represent the seal of righteousness to a generation. So we are not eroding the office of the prophet, but we are now saying everyone now carries a prophetic spirit. And so if a man is stranded, it means he doesn't know the Christ. And I told you yesterday that if you don't have the voice of God, you are like a blind man walking in a noisy world. Everything will throw you into pressure. Everything will bring anxiety. Everything will bring confusion. But if you know the way, no matter the noise, you know where you are going. So when Peter said, you are the Christ, Peter is saying that humanity on the strength of your manifestation will be upgraded to a realm where everybody now has the Spirit of God and can hear the voice of God. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the thought in Peter was saying is that we have all become kings. We have all become men of authority. Because in that same 1 Kings 19 verse 16, it says Mashiach Jehu as king of Israel. And so every time you come into the revelation of the Christ, you enter your office of kingship. You begin to reign in life. And so if every believer were to understand this scripture, you will not find a weak believer. If every believer were to understand this scripture, you will not find a defeated believer. When we come for healing service, believers won't come to be healed. Believers will bring those that they have healed. You will now discover that everybody is walking in the reality of divine health. And so when we come for healing service will become report services. Where everybody is bringing, I prayed for 10 people, they were healed. Okay, 10 people. I prayed for 30 people, they were healed. Where are they? You now bring them. Healing service will become a service of bringing more souls that were healed into the kingdom. Not for believers to come and line up hoping for healing. If you understand this, our services will change. Our world will change. Because every one of us will be walking in the status of a priest, a king, and a prophet. And if we are all walking like that, then we will truly become the light of the world. And so when Peter said, "You are the Christ," he was bringing us the full revelation of Jesus Christ as the messenger of God to humanity and as the factor that upgrades humanity to come into the realm of God and participate in reality from that realm. And so the first thing this scripture shows us is the fact that anything that is not of God does not have the seal of God. The second thing this revelation shows us is the fact that right now where we are upgraded species. We are no longer wretches. We are no longer hopeless. We are no longer useless. We are no longer a waste. We have become priests, prophets, and kings. And if you know this, you will walk out of this conference beginning to change everything going wrong in your life with words. The ones that are addressed in the conference, you give God thanks for it. But the ones that are not yet addressed, you will come and operate in the office that you have been brought into. So these were the two things I tried to establish yesterday. That number one, only what is from the realm of God, we have the seal of God. No matter how spiritual it looks, it doesn't matter. You can start a church that does not have the seal of God. You can start a business that does not have the seal of God. You can start a prayer meeting that does not have the seal of God. Because every one of us walking on the earth, something was written concerning us. And if we cannot ascend to that realm to find it, everything we are doing here is either a continuation of what already is or is something that God does not recognize. And because God does not recognize it, it will soon be corrupt. That's why many prayer centers become grounds for adultery and fornication. God's seal is not on it, so the gate of hell will prevail over it. So they started praying. You say prayer is a good thing. After a while, the devil will come in between them. And from that prayer, 30 virgins will be disflowered. From that prayer, unwanted pregnancy will emerge. From that prayer, you will discover that when you start seeing those things, it's a sign that number one, it didn't come from Zion. And because it didn't come from Zion, it didn't have the seal of God. So when the gate of hell came, it destroyed it. You can see a beautiful prayer meeting. All of them are seeking God, praying and fasting. After a while, the devil now sees that these people are making noise too much. He will now give them small visibility. Somebody will now come and dash them 1 million. From that 1 million, the prayer meeting will scatter. They will start fighting. A war, a full-fledged war will emerge from that prayer meeting. Gossip, biting, animosity, everything will start to be destroyed. The reason is because the seal of God is not on it. It didn't come from heaven. And so anything that doesn't come from heaven, even if it is spiritual, the gate of hell will prevail against it. And so if you don't want the gate of hell to prevail against it, you must access it from Zion. If it comes from Zion, its root will be in Zion. Don't be creative with life. Be revelatory with life. If you are creative with life, demons can cut you off and they can destroy what you are doing. But if you are revelatory, the seal of God will be upon it. Even if the gate of hell, you know, it didn't say a demon. When it says a gate of hell, that's the demonic ecclesia. It is made up of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, demons and wicked men. All of it put together He said he cannot prevail against it. Do you think your creativity can survive that kind of arsenal? You think your creativity can survive that kind of force, that mobilization made up of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, and wicked men. Wicked men. And some of these wicked men are warlocks. They are warlocks. They can chant spell. They can chant incantation. All this as artillery of darkness will come against that vision. And so if it doesn't come from Zion, the vision itself will put you at risk. And this is why many people die, because of what they started. When they didn't start anything, they were safe. But the moment they started something, cancer came. High blood pressure came. The moment they started something, accidents came, because there was no seal on it. Is this supposed to stop you from starting something? No. But this is supposed to stir you, that before you start something, see the patterns. See the patterns. If you don't see the patterns, you will endanger your existence. Are we together? And so whatever you are doing on earth must have its root in what? In the spirit. Tell your neighbor, whatever you are doing on earth must have its root in the spirit. You are not safe because what you are doing is spiritual. You are safe because what you are doing came from heaven. It can be spiritual. It can not necessarily be spiritual in the sense of human definition. But if it came from heaven, you'll be established. It could be politics. It could be business. Whatever it is, if the root is in heaven, you will prevail. And so what it means is that every believer should be able to access heaven. It means if you are not yet accessing heaven, then your Christianity is closer to fake than real. Because that's where we pull things out from. That's where we download things from. That's where we fetch reality from. The third thing this scripture reveals to us, which I'll be sharing for 10 minutes before I leave, is the authority structure of the spirit realm. The authority structure. I just want to stay on the scripture. I don't know why I'm so bothered about just staying upon this on the scripture. Maybe it's one person I want to talk to. Maybe somebody has a great destiny that God wants me to root this thing into his soul deeply. This scripture reveals to us the full scope of the authority structure of the spirit realm. Every man walking in authority, every man, undergoes a protocol. And that protocol is what this scripture reveals. The first protocol of the spirit realm, of authority in the spirit realm, is the protocol of download. The first thing that gives you authority in the spirit realm is that realities from the spirit realm come to you. And this is what establishes your root in the spirit. There's no man of authority that does not have an encounter from the spirit realm. If the spirit realm has not attracted you, if the spirit realm has not come to you, if the realities from that realm has not come to you, you can never have authority. I personally believe that the reason Peter became the head of the apostles is because he was the one this revelation came to. Peter was not the first disciple of Jesus. In fact, Peter was invited by Andrew. Peter was not the first man walking with Jesus. Peter came after some had already come. But there was something that happened to Peter, because Jesus said, "Thou art Peter," and he stopped. He didn't say anything anymore. The moment Peter gave that revelation, he said, "Thou art Peter," and he stopped. And he started talking about the revelation. Because he didn't say the church will be built on Peter. He said the church will be built upon the revelation that Peter caught. That means Peter was the human architect of the church. He was the one who caught the revelation upon which the church was built. So Jesus recognized that it was him that the realm came to. And if you notice, the moment Jesus left, naturally Peter took over. In fact, before Jesus left, he came to the disciples when they went fishing. The moment Peter went fishing, every other person went with him. The moment he went fishing, the whole disciples went fishing. And when Jesus came to him, he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? It became a dialogue between Peter and Jesus. And he studied the book of Acts when the Holy Ghost came down. The Bible said Peter and the 11 stood up. Natural leadership and authority came upon the man because he was the one the realm came to. And so when the realm begins to come to a man, even if he's the youngest, he's the leader. You can't fight it. Authority is not manipulated. Authority is given. And when authority is given to you, the sign is that the realm will come to you. If the realm begins to come to you, it means you are being separated for something that is eternal. And that separation will confer upon you authority. There are two things this should teach you. Number one, it should teach you faith. That when the realm comes to you, the realm has already vindicated you. The realm has already justified you. And the realm has already secured you. And so there is nothing on earth that should intimidate you. You may be 17 years old. If the realm comes to you, the realm has isolated you. This is why David had 7 elder brothers. If you looked at Eliab, the Bible said the man looked king. His physical stature defined kingship. In fact, when the prophet saw him, the prophet was carried away and wanted to anoint him. God said, no, don't. You are looking at the outward. The one the realm choose is a ruddy young boy who doesn't look like a king, but he's choosing. And so when God begins to ordain you for power and for authority, don't allow human operations to intimidate you. You may not be educated. You may not have the right gender. Because in certain territories, it is only men that are exalted. You may be a woman. You don't have the right gender. It doesn't matter whether you have the right education. And I'm not saying be an illiterate. As much as it's possible, get educated. You may not have the right gender. You may not have the right age. Because there's an age that looks as if you have to come into before you are a leader. Maybe you should be 45 years old. So when people look at you, they want to despise you for your age. You may not have the right lingo and grammar. All of that doesn't matter. If the realm comes to you, the scepter has been given to you. Every other thing becomes secondary. Whether you are a woman, whether you are a boy, whether you are old, it becomes irrelevant. Because the first seal of authority is that the realm will pick you out. And if you are here today and the realm is picking you out, I came to tell you that you are a leader in your generation. This is what Jesus was teaching us. Peter was an angry man. Peter was a radical. Peter is not the man you will naturally want him to lead. Very aggressive, very angry. He couldn't even control himself most of the time. Even at Gethsemane, Peter had not yet matured. The moment the guards came, he took his sword and removed somebody's ear. He said, put your spear back. I've told you before, don't depend on physical strength. Why are you still so man? You have followed me all this while. You can still not walk in the spirit. Calm down, discern. Jesus told him, you deny him. He said, me? It cannot happen. I will die. Is it Jesus you are arguing with? The person who told the dead to come back to life and he came. You are still arguing with him. The person that commanded the storm to be calm and it was calm. The man cannot just stop being Peter. And before morning, the eloquent man had denied Jesus 3 times. In fact, Peter would have died like Judas. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. That means, of all the 3 years that Peter was working with Jesus, the weight of Peter in the spirit is like wheat. That's how light Peter was in the spirit. Because of his anger, because of his doubt, because of his aggression. Peter had not built stamina yet. He said, you are like wheat compared to the devil. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith faileth not. When Jesus resurrected, Peter was the only one he singled out to encourage. He said, go and tell Peter and the disciples. Had no qualification in the natural, but he was the one the realm came to. You may be the worst in the natural. You may be the least in the natural, but if the realm comes to you, you can become the leader. Because the first seal of authority is that the realm comes to you. David was a shepherd boy. He had no business becoming the leader, but the realm came to him. Samuel went and poured oil on him. Immediately, the scepter of authority began to follow him. Immediately. Joseph was the least among his brothers. In fact, they could tear him apart overnight, but the realm came to him. He said he saw a dream where 11 stars, the sun and the moon, were bowing to him. There was nothing they could do about it. They tried to kill him. They threw him into a pit. He became a houseboy. He became a prisoner. But the realm had come. If the realm has come, circumstances of life can't uproot it. The jealousy of men can't uproot it. The manipulation of demons can't uproot it. Because the first seal of authority is that the realm will come to you. And Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. He said, but my Father which is in heaven have brought the realm to you. And so immediately Peter became the leader. Now, if you have had encounters with God before, this message is for you. It means whatever happens around you, don't be intimidated. Whatever happens around you, don't give up. The realm has selected you. And if the realm has selected you, come what may, you will lead. The second protocol of authority from this scripture is what we call establishment. That is the operation of the spirit of wisdom. You can be summoned into authority, but the measure of authority you exercise will be subject to the wisdom at work in you. It said true wisdom is an house builded. It said by understanding it is established. And it said through knowledge, every chamber is filled with good things. Two persons can receive an encounter to become businessmen. But the level of authority they will wield in the corridor of business is subject to the degree of wisdom they have and apply. And this is why when a realm isolates you, it behoves you now to buy the truth and sell it not. Hope you know that in this conference, there are at least six apostles that are ministering. But everyone comes with different authority. Everyone comes with different glory. Everyone comes with different measure. As I'm talking now, an apostle may walk in. If he walks in here now, the witness he will bring will swallow up my witness. The reason is because measures of wisdom over time had been applied to build the authority level in the spirit to affect a generation in the most robust manner. We are not the same. We can bear the same title. We can represent the same ordination. But the degree to which we apply wisdom is what will separate us into ranks. The problem a generation we have which can affect their authority level is when they don't recognize this fact and give themselves to it. And so instead of buying wisdom and applying yourself to wisdom, you can be there arguing and say, we are all apostles. You are a joker. You can be there arguing and say, we are all politicians. You can be there arguing to say, we are all businessmen. We are all businessmen, but we are not the same. We are all prophets, but we are not the same. We are all apostles, but we are not the same. Our witnesses are different. Our influence in the spirit is different, and it's all dependent on the degree through which we, through wisdom, that we apply our horn to our generation. There are many persons who are called into business, but they spend all their time watching movies. How can you exercise authority in the business world when you should be studying books, attending conferences, and starting up small-scale businesses for it to grow? You are watching seasonal movies and you come back, you say, we will change this world. That is a cliche for poor people. Those who are changing this world, they are not saying it, they are doing it. You come and when there's a conference, everybody shows up with suit. And then you are struggling for where to sit. Relax. Your authority level will give you a seat. It's not manipulation that gives seat. It's your authority level. If they tell you to go back, don't be offended. Go and build authority. If you're offended, if they say go back, you are not ready to grow. If they say go back, say sorry, I overestimated myself. Now I understand. When you go back, go and gather wisdom and grow. When you grow, you will stop talking about seat. You will become guest speaker. When you go for the business summit, don't drag to with people who are in front. They are not in front because they felt like. They are in front because they should. If they are not there, that conference will not have validation. Their authority level has made them not just to be participants of the conference, but they became validators of the conference. And so they put them in front there to validate the conference. If you come there instead of struggling to find a seat in front, go and build capacity. Apply wisdom and grow. When you grow, that kind of conference, they will ask you, please choose a date that you want. You will be the one to decide the date of the conference because you have grown. Many people are not buying wisdom. Many people are not trading in the market of wisdom. They are looking for public events to come and force their way into places they don't qualify for. Is it not unfair for you not to have the requisite authority, but to share the same level of glory with those who paid the price? How much of justice do you think that is? You are dragging with somebody to share the same privilege with the person, whereas the impact of that person over the generation is 1,000 times more than yours. How dare you want to sit with an apostle who is affecting 10 million people, whereas you are struggling with a fellowship of 5 people? Who told you are all apostles? How dare you come to insist and struggle with a businessman who has employed 5,000 people when you have not even as much as started one? Is that not pride and arrogance? And so instead of struggling with men for things that are superficial, go and build capacity. Because the second protocol of authority is a law. It insists that you will only have to the degree of your capacity. And the first way to build capacity is to begin to buy wisdom. Trade in the market of wisdom and develop wisdom in your spirit. As you grow in wisdom, you will discover that your influence will begin to increase. Because God is not unjust to forget our labor of love. God will recompense you based on the degree of your input. Nature will respect you based on the degree of your input. Men will respect you based on the degree of your input. Authority is not just a gift. Authority is something we labor over. And as you are laboring over it, its influence begins to increase. And the more it increases, the more witness you can bring to a generation. Don't come into a place and try to buy your way there through sentiment. If you succeed, you have made your wilderness journey longer. If you manipulate your way to the top, you have made your wilderness journey longer. And so if you have not grown, look for reproach. Look for embarrassment. It will help you to wake up. It is at that corridor that embarrassment becomes a gift. Because there are many people who will not wake up to the demands of their destiny until they are publicly embarrassed. Because if the Holy Ghost is talking, you may not hear. But when you are chiseled out of somewhere, it will affect you and remind you that you are a sleeping lion. And so you will wake up. When you wake up, when you roar, the jungle will respond to you. The second protocol of authority is the necessary requirement of growing capacity, growing stature, growing relevance, growing impact. Don't create impressions. Don't manipulate your way in life. Grow your way through life. If you manipulate your way through life, your life will be an impression. It will not strike a chord in eternity. But when you grow your way through impact, you will not just be relevant among men. Even among spirit, they will recognize your labor. And on the strength of your labor, they will respect and they will reward you. Authority begins when the realm reveals itself to you, and then it goes into building capacity until your impact begins to create the necessary change in your generation. And the third protocol of authority is ascension. Ascension. Because if you remain at one level for long, you will discover that you will be overshadowed in that level. And so every man who grows in authority keeps going higher. You know, if you study the subject of authority in the spirit, you will discover that it is always synonymous to heights. The Bible said we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And so height is a symbol to represent authority in the spirit. The higher you go, the more authority you exercise. If you don't go high, you can't exercise authority. That's why God is called the Most High. He has the highest authority, so he has to be the Most High. He said he has gone up high above all heavens that he may fill all things. He may be able to interact with all things. And so a man who grows in authority is a man who goes high in the spirit. The higher you go in the spirit, the more your authority level towers in the spirit. There are many persons who are at ground level, and they are hoping to carry out things that people in high places are doing. It doesn't work like that. There are heights in the spirit. And if you want your authority level to shift, you have to learn the technology of going high. And in the next 5 minutes, I show you few technologies of going high. When you are dealing with Zion, when you are dealing with the mountains of God, there are five cedars. The first cedar, you know, the Bible said we've come to Mount Zion. We didn't come to Mount Zion just to be at the foot of Mount Zion. We will climb Mount Zion. We will climb. You know, it was Paul that said you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. But Paul also came in Colossians 3 verse 1. He said, if you are risen with Christ, he said, let your affection. So one is a legal reality. The other is an experiential reality. Legally, you have a seat there. But experientially, you will climb into that seat. By the Holy Spirit and by the word, you must climb. The authority you are exercising now is a function of your height in the spirit. If you go higher, your authority level will change, because height imparts authority. You know, when you are driving to the airport, usually you find forests. They put them, I don't know if they are afraid of planes crashing into people's houses. In most places, you see that the airport is desolate. You find forests or you find mountains. You can't drive through those bush, because your car doesn't have enough authority to defy them. But the moment you enter the plane and the plane ascends, mountains become irrelevant. See, there is a realm you are walking where you need to cast, you need to uproot mountain. There's another realm you are walking, the mountains doesn't matter. They can be many, you don't need to command them, you fly above them. You know, there was a realm Moses was operating in that he needed to divide the Red Sea. You call it power. Elijah divided the Red Sea. When Jesus showed up, there was no need dividing. He walked on water. He walked on water. Because there are authority levels. There's a realm where you need to command this mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast away. And when the mountain moves, you walk as a man of authority. But there's another realm where mountains notwithstanding, at that realm you are not walking, you are flying. So you don't need to bother yourself with mountain. You add speed. Because there's a speed called escape velocity. When you hit that speed, you ascend. And when you ascend, you don't need faith to remove mountain. The faith that fly already carries the faith that uproots mountain. The mountain will be there, but it will be irrelevant. I read the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He came to his parlor and he found a demon on a rocking chair, shaking the chair. If you are the one, your heart will melt. Jesus, what do I do? I'm finished. Another Christian may come and say, get out! The guy showed up and said, is it you? Why did I waste my time? So when you are praying that no demon will come to this house, no devil will come to this house, Speed Wiggles want to say, you are welcome. But when you come, be ready to dress my bed. There are levels of authority. And so if you want to grow your level of authority, you need to ascend. There is an essential requirement in the business of authority. And there are five cedars. The first cedar of ascension is to come to Mount Zion. Come. And the way you come to Mount Zion is to be born again. That's a requisite requirement. And that's the authority level that Christians who are born again should walk in. At the level of come, you can cast out demons. You know, casting out demons is actually the lowest realm of authority in the kingdom. It is strange that believers struggle to cast out demons. Here was what Jesus did. In Matthew 10:17, he sent out 70 men to go into all cities that they will come and to preach the gospel and to cast out devils. And when they went and rebuked devils, they came to Jesus excited that even the devils were subject to us. And Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you. That's not the testimony. He said, rejoice that today your name is written in the book of life. So the testimony is that now you are born of God. And when Jesus prayed, he prayed a strange prayer. He turned to the Father and said, I thank you, O Father, that you have kept these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed it to babes. That means the realm of casting devils is the realm of what? Babes. He said, you have revealed these things to what? To babes. And so, there's no need to hype about casting out devils. Everyone who is born of God has the authority over devils. He said in John chapter 1 from verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God. Everybody that is born again comes into a measure of authority. And one of the ways to exercise that authority is to cast out devils. There's no devil that has the power to withstand a properly born again Christian. A born again Christian is suffering because of his ignorance. And so the first level of ascension for him that comes is to ascend above ignorance. And so your authority will be challenged, not by devils, but by ignorance. And so when you come, you are expected to ascend in understanding. If you don't have that understanding, you will still be a frustrated being under the authority and influence of devils. You don't have understanding. You are the foot of the mountain. You are the foot. The first requirement for ascension is to come. And when you come, you need understanding. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And because he did that, the moment he resurrected, he came to his disciples and said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, go in that power. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And so everyone that is born of God has authority above the devils. But that authority is at the mercy of his ascension in understanding. You need to know that you are born of God, and you need to know that now that you are born of God, by default, your spiritual DNA and your being brought into the family of God gives you authority over every other family that is not of God. And that is the demonic realm. And so a believer who doesn't have basic understanding of salvation, even though he's come to Mount Zion, he has not yet ascended. And so the first level of ascension is to have understanding of who you are in Christ and of the things that are available to you. When you do that, then you go to the second level. Because in Psalm 24 from verse 3, it says, who shall ascend the hills of God? So in the new birth, you have come to the hills of God. But it takes a technology of ascending it. Who shall ascend? And if you study scriptures, you will discover the second instrument that makes for ascension are sounds. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, he said, I, your brother John, who is a part of you in tribulation. He said, I was in the isle called Patmos on the day of the Lord, and I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And he said, as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And so a man who ascends Zion is a man whose ears in the spirit are fine-tuned to hear the sounds of God. And the sound of God in this context is not a guitar, it's not a trumpet, it's the proceeding word of God. If the proceeding word of God does not come to you, you can't exercise authority. This is why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, the word of God are the sounds of his spirit. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So after having understanding of salvation, you need to be positioned in the spirit enough to periodically and constantly hear the voice of God. If you are not hearing the proceeding word of God, there are many situations that will come in form of dark mysteries that will still subjugate you. Because you may have authority, but you may not have the technicalities. And so what the sound comes to do is to open you up to the exact thing to do. You say, if you are going in the wrong way, you shall hear a voice behind you telling you, this is not the way to go. So you have the requisite authority in salvation, but you need the sound for specificity as you navigate through life. So the second layer of authority is the layer of ascension through sounds. There are many believers here who don't have access to the proceeding word of God. They can't hear that word. That word is what makes you invincible. There are many times when you rise up to travel, an accident has been set in motion, and you are not aware. That nick of time should be where your destiny is decided. But before you entered your car, you picked the frequency and he said, wait. You don't know why he said to wait, but you now go back to your room and you delay for 10 minutes. That 10 minutes is not clock. That 10 minutes is life and death. You are the one who called it 10 minutes, but in the spirit, it's not 10 minutes. In the spirit, it means death and life. If you miss that 10 minutes, you will die. And if you gain that 10 minutes, you will live. Because everything in the spirit has a different definition. You know, when they brought water to David to drink, he looked at it and said, no, this man have put their life in jeopardy. You call it water, but David called it blood. And he poured it as an oblation to God. There are many things that confer authority. This kind of authority is what makes you invincible in the realm of God. When you find men who cannot die, when you find men who cannot be destroyed, when you find men who cannot be defeated, it's not just because they are born again. It's because they hear. They hear the proceeding word again and again. You can stand up and you want to go for a conference, and suddenly the word comes. It says, this is not the time to travel. You don't travel on this day. Even though it will affect your relationship with your host, you will call him and apologize and say, I'm not to travel. If there's anything that can be done for that meeting to go on without you, it will be done. The reason is because that journey is not from Abuja to Lagos. That journey is from earth to eternity. Because if you embark on that journey, that flight will not last for 1 hour. It will last forever and ever. And the reason is because you miss the sound. There are many believers who are born again, but they are not ascended. So they don't hear the proceeding word. And because they don't hear the proceeding word, even though they've been born into authority, they are still victims in life. There are certain companies you want to start. The day you are appointed to start it is the wrong day. A voice will come and say, wait for 1 year. But you stood up with zeal and motivation because they told you, my God, this level where you are now, the world is waiting for you. That's how some people started ministry at the wrong time. They say, my God, you mean you are giving this kind of word of knowledge and you are still here wasting? No, now, come on. Man of faith, where is your faith? And they stood up with arrogance and ambition and they called it faith. What they would have achieved in 6 months, they will now achieve in 60 years. Because the timing was wrong. God positioned them to start at a certain time so that that time becomes their Eden. Everything they needed would have met them there. But they didn't start from Eden. They started in another location. And because they started, their journey in life became a disappointment. They kept missing the appointed time. And what should have been a glorious destiny becomes a frustrated destiny. If the proceeding word can come to you, then you are invincible. And so the second level of authority and ascension is the realm where you hear the proceeding word. Thank God for the Bible you are reading. The Bible you are reading will teach you the principles of God. The Bible you are reading will teach you the ways of God. But what will give you power is the proceeding word. This is why theologians are not powerful. They know every phrase in scripture. If you quote 2 phrases, they can tell you everywhere it is, but they don't have access to the proceeding word. Bible knowledge is not authority. Bible knowledge acquaints you with the ways of God and the principles of God. Authority is the proceeding word. That's why I said you will live by the rhema of God. And when a man is functioning at the realm of the rhema, that's a powerful man. And that realm is not ground level. is an ascended level. I'm telling you the secrets of glorious existence. See, for we who are ministers, sometimes I'm going for a meeting, I'm tired. My whole body is aching. I will sit on the chair. My eyes are closed. People are looking at you and they are saying, my God, this man is in the spirit. Can you imagine? Since he came, he has been in the spirit. No, he's not in the spirit. His body is aching. His body is aching. And while you are there trying to put your body together, the people think that, oh my God, maybe an angel is talking to him. There's no angel there. And then the man will mount the stage, and the moment he carries the mic, the power of God begins to move. You say, we said it. Did you see that his eyes was closed when he was sitting? There was nothing happening. But the reason that manifestation happened was because before he left the hotel room, the voice came and said, that service is a power service. He can come for that service and say, calm down. He will gist with you. When he's done gisting, he will now say, this is time for power. And anything he says will happen. You will think it's because this guy is so anointed. He heard. Sometimes you are coming out of your room, God will say, I'm healing the sick today. You don't mean it. When you come and you are done doing what you are doing, you will now say, everybody who is sick here is healed. And terrible healings will be happening. Somebody else will not know the technology. He too will go for his meeting. And when he finished talking, he will say, everybody who is sick here is healed. You are not ascended. You want to command the reality from ascended realm? Is that not a joke? You find somebody going to a village to start a business. You didn't know that he was directed. How did you think Elijah survived in the presence of a brook for over 2 years? Because the famine was for 3.5 years. He was there for at least 2 years. How did he survive? Because the voice came. He was given the exact location. And when he sat there, there was no bread there, but ravens, the most stingy bird, brought him bread daily. How can that happen? He heard. You will now stand and say, we are of the Elijah generation. If you go to a brook, you will die of hunger. When Elijah met the widow said, I have just a little dough left to prepare and eat so that me and my child will die. Elijah said, the dough will not finish. Thus hear the Lord. There was no thus hear the Lord when God sent Elijah. But he said to Elijah, I have commanded the widow to sustain you. And so anything Elijah does will lead to sustenance. He heard. It's a realm. There are too many Christians who are hearing the stories of other pastors. Stories will inspire you, but it's the voice of God that brings faith. Make no mistakes about it. You will hear the story of Bessie the host and land yourself in trouble. You will hear the story of Smith Wigglesworth and land yourself in trouble. You heard that a woman had cancer. He punched the woman and cancer came out. When you punch, you will end in the police station. We are deluded because we don't know the dynamics. As that man is walking there, everybody he's ministering to, there is a knowing. That's what informed the style of ministration. He can come to somebody and say, cast the demon out. He can come to another person, punch him. He can come to another person, push him. And you come. You watch that the first person, they blew. The second person, they punch. They will pick you with handcuff. And your ministry will end there because you don't know the technology. We were not commanded to copy others. Others can inspire us, but the blueprint of our destiny is in the realm of the proceeding world. When you get there, you will hear and keep hearing. As you keep hearing, you keep moving. If you stop hearing, you stop moving. Your speed is regulated by the frequency of the proceeding world. Your speed is not regulated by your ambition. It's not regulated by your passion. It's regulated by the proceeding world. If God has not spoken, wait. You will just kill yourself. I copied many people, and it's the mercy of God that has kept me here preaching to you today. I went somewhere to pray for. I don't have time. And so the second realm of authority is the realm of sound, where you begin to function by the proceeding word. Oh, the beauty of the proceeding word. It doesn't look like it, but when you speak, strange things begin to happen, and people don't know why. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me to the valley of dry bones. And he said, indeed, the bones were dry. And he said, mortal man, can these bones live? He said, oh God, only thou knowest. And he said, speak to the bones. And the man said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as he spoke, the Bible said, bones joined to bones. He said, sinews, flesh came upon them. He said, the wind came upon them, and dry bones became a great army. Not because a prophet was there, it's because the proceeding word was there. A powerful man is a man that has access to the proceeding word. And so every believer who wants to walk in the realm of authority must ascend. The third realm of authority is the realm of standing. Standing. He said, who shall ascend the mountains of God? And he now said, who shall stand upon his holy hills? It was in this scripture that spiritual standing was defined. Because spiritual standing is not this posture. It gave us three things that defines a man who is standing. He said, number one, that man is of a clean hands. That speaks of integrity. That speaks of purity. That speaks of holy living. He said, a man, he has what? Clean hands. He said, he has not lifted up his soul in vanity. That's a humble man. And so there are people who wield authority. Hear this. If you know these things, you will be shocked how your life will become. See, you can come to a place and God has not spoken, but the witness of a holy life can become a rod. Did you read the life of Samuel? In 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel showed up and stood before Israel, and he said, let one of you here accuse me. And the Bible said, in the whole congregation of Israel, not one man could accuse Samuel, not one. And Samuel began to speak on the strength of his purity. He said, this is dry season. He said, but now I will speak. And he said, it will thunder from heaven, and God will bring rain to show you that you are in rebellion. There was no voice of God, but the testimony of righteous living was speaking. And when Samuel spoke, it thundered from heaven and it began to rain. What happened in that context? A holy life was wielding a scepter. A holy life. We are a generation of liars. We are a generation of manipulators. We are a generation of thieves and wolves in sheep clothing. We know how to preach the Bible. We know how to act pious before people. But the sign that what we are doing is fake are the tender manifestations that are lacking. Celebrate yourself. God's servant, Pastor Yemi Davis. It's an honor to meet you, sir. And so the first realm of authority is the realm of coming. That happened in salvation. And as you grow in understanding, you'll discover that your power increases. The second realm of authority is the realm of ascension. That's the realm of sound. The proceeding word. It makes you invincible. But there's a higher realm. The third realm of authority is the realm of righteous living. A realm of humility and brokenness. Who shall stand on the mountains of God? He said, who shall ascend his holy hills? It has to be a man that has a pure hand, a clean heart, who has not lifted up his soul in vanity. That means what it takes to stand in the realm of God is a life of integrity and is a life of humility. Find men who truly have power, they are broken. Find men who truly have power, they live righteous. Their secret life is same as their public life. It is not people who manage the situation, stage manage, and go back to live as criminals. Those kinds of people have no authority. Now, I told you that the first authority deals with demons. The second authority makes for a successful life. It deals with circumstances. Authority in salvation is authority over demons. The moment you are born again, you enter into the economy of having spoiled principalities and powers. The moment the proceeding word comes, you begin to succeed. You can look at somebody and say you are more anointed than him, but he has economic rest. He is building a lot of institutions from the place of rest because he's doing as he's commanded. So the second realm of authority addresses circumstances of life. This realm of authority addresses territories. Because it's when you stand that you will say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. This kind of authority does not deal with demons. It deals with princes. It deals with dominions. It deals with powers that regulate territory. The reason we are still struggling with territorial issues is because we have perfected the authority at salvation, which is to understand the finished works of Christ. That's why we have healings. That's why we are casting out devils. We have perfected the authority that has to do with the proceeding word. That's why we are successful in life. But this level of authority, most people have not come here to live a life of uprightness and to live a life of true humility. The place where Samuel stood and he said, God, I have not spoken, but I will speak now and it will rain from heaven. This is why these men address territories. Jonah went into Nineveh and Jonah spoke, and the whole city, the whole nation was purged. From the king to the beast was affected by one message. What did he preach? It was beyond the message. It was a testimony of a holy life. It was a testimony of brokenness and humility. The kind of power this man wielded was tied to their righteousness. How could Moses walk into Egypt and say, let my people go? You are addressing the strongest civilization of your world, the strongest government of your world. How dare you appear before Pharaoh? Pharaoh was called a sun god, but a man who had power over systems was speaking. And Moses didn't stop there. At one point, Moses' authority was challenged, and Moses said, except I'm not a man of God. He said, the earth will open up its mouth and swallow you up. Who talks to the earth? How do you speak to the earth? How do you know the earth has ears? But he was wielding a power that is a testimony in the realm of God. Joshua was fighting, and when it was going dark, he said, Joshua stood before the congregation of Israel. God didn't talk to him. And Joshua said, the sun will remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. He said, the moon will remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And he said, the sun did not make haste to go down. And he made a statement that was scary. He said, there's never been a day like that. And neither will there ever be. He said, in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. Because when a holy man rises, he's a prince in Zion. When such a man speaks, nature will respect him. When such a man speaks, princes will be dethroned. And when such a man speaks, he has the power to create national changes. He has the power to create national reformation. A time will come when one amongst us will rise in the body, and when it talks, the nation will bow. Because it has happened before, it will happen again. Listen, the most powerful forces are not government. He said the government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. But it will take a man that has the testimony of righteousness and the testimony of brokenness in the realm of God to speak, and the government of the world will bow. These are realities that are available to us in Christ Jesus. But it will take ascensions. And so there's an ascended level you get to that it becomes a law to walk in the fear of the Lord. The power of righteousness and humility is a dangerous power in the realm of God. We have remas, but the testimony of righteousness and humility is not complete. And this is why the territory is trying to eject us. This is why forces are rising everywhere. And there's no man to say restore. But a new generation is rising. Of men who are not just anointed, but men who have a testimony of righteousness before God. And you didn't come to this conference just to be imparted. You came because there is a man to waiting for you. And you will ascend Zion to find it. My time is up, so I'll stop here. You know, the person coming up next is an elder, so it will be
to be an error to continue. My revelation has finished. God bless you.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.